You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It is Doug, it is Tim, it is Tyler. Bringing you a fun episode this week. Make sure, as you heard in the intro, that you use code DHHRING. Trophy Smack recently featured on Shark Tank. We talked about it last week. If you haven't watched the episode, I recommend doing so. It was pretty awesome. Cubes is in the building. He's an investor. Big things coming from Trophy Smack. DHHRING, when you order a trophy, get a free championship ring, which was featured in that episode of Shark Tank. Very, very excited to be here this week. Tyler, Tim, what is going on? Tim, you look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, my friend. What's new over there in Pennsylvania?
Not much new in Pennsylvania. Just watching some of the weekend of football, these final playoff games to get to the championships for the conferences. I weirdly found myself rooting for the Browns earlier today.
I think a lot of people were rooting for the Browns today.
I was very happy to see Andy Reid get a championship last year, but when it came to today's game, we got about 5 minutes into it. I'm like, man, I really want the Browns to win this one.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Tyler, what's going over there in Minnesota? I heard you got some snow finally.
Yeah, we actually had a good amount of snow. Had to go out and shovel. Well, my wife shoveled. I did the end of the driveway.
Wait, what?
My wife shoveled because she I don't know if she wanted to. Okay, stop backing me into a corner here. This is not.
I made my wife go out and shovel.
I didn't make my wife go out and shovel. She wanted to.
Maybe she wanted just some time outside away from the kids. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to throw on a podcast, probably Dynasty Happy Hour for all I know. And no, probably not. She wouldn't want to hear your voice while she's shoveling.
No, not at all.
Yeah, she probably threw on something.
Trophy time.
Yeah, trophy time. Maybe call her daddy. We don't know. And she's out there shoveling, just having a good old time.
No, but it's been good. And the funny thing is, the second the snow dropped, it was gone. I mean, that we're having a heat wave. It hasn't dropped below, I think, like 20, maybe 15 degrees. And usually by this time of year, it's like negative 80. So things are changing.
The one time I was in Minnesota was around this time of the year. It was actually middle of January. I was at the Best Buy corporate office for a training. And I remember walking out of the hotel we were staying in to the bus, which was like 10 feet. You literally walked out. I've never had my breath taken away from cold weather before. That was the first time. I walked outside, inhaled, and I was like choking. It was so cold. I never experienced that before, and it was absolutely
your
wild.
Your body did not know how to process oxygen that was that temperature.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I was like, what is happening to me?
You get used to it.
So damn cold. So damn cold. Yeah, it was bad. So we've got this week, we've got a little bit different format this week. We are going to talk a little bit about players to buy. We're not going to go over stats and stuff, but we've got some questions from our Dynasty community. We got a couple there. We're going to talk about some of the coaching moves that have gone down in the NFL and just kind of like a little bit of a potpourri cornucopia of things that are on our Dynasty minds. Maybe things that we've seen on Twitter, maybe trades that have been made. We're just kind of going to chop it up here a little bit and kind of have a little bit of a free-flowing session on Dynasty Happy Hour this week.
So, I actually tried to get Leo Pasiga on here tonight. Last second,
I know Leo.
I wanted to go over his book. So I thought we could kind of go over Dynasty trading. I know he's doing those kind of threads.
He's got some threads.
Yeah, about the Dynasty trading. And he is the man who came up with the book. The book on how to trade and how to make yourself a better trader and how to make trades throughout your league that help you and the trading partner. So maybe we could kind of go over that a little bit too and talk about how we like to go about trading if we have some time after all this.
Yeah, I think we'll probably have some time for that. I actually know Leo. We're in Beantown Brawl Draft together, so I've met Leo a few times. We play in that league together. Real cool guy. Definitely very insightful. Has a different way of looking into things. So I think that would be a good exercise to kind of cover some of maybe what our process is a little bit too. So without further ado, let's get into our player to buy segment, and I'm going to have Tim kick this one off because I think out of the three players that we have listed here, I think I might like this one the best. So, Tim, who is your player to buy this week in Dynasty?
I kept going back and forth between two younger receivers, but I finally landed on Tyler Johnson, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who we are watching play the New Orleans Saints right now. He's having himself a pretty decent game, but despite the fact that he's like fourth in the pecking order, fifth in the pecking order for receiving right now, just go look at his rookie year. You don't expect much from a rookie receiver. You know, with his draft pedigree taken later in the draft. But anytime he saw the field for 50% of the snaps or greater, he had himself a decent fantasy week. So I think it's just a matter of time. They got, I believe Godwin's up on his contract this year.
Yep.
And then they'll have to probably, if he stays, they're probably going to have to make some moves elsewhere, which should lead Tyler Johnson to the field. And all it is an opportunity factor. Once he sees the opportunity, I believe this guy's going to return the value. And so you're able to get Tyler Johnson right now for a relatively cheap price. So go out and buy this guy now before you start seeing the field on a regular basis, and then that price goes up.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I think Tyler Johnson was – he was typically going like back end of third, mm-hmm. early fourth in rookie drafts because part of it was draft capital, and then landing spot wasn't great because he had a lot of people in front of him. But one of the things, he has shown flashes a couple times this year. And the good news is that Tom Brady wasn't overly afraid to throw to him when there was injuries and Tyler Johnson stepped in. So that was good to see because Tom Brady typically doesn't like rookie receivers. Maybe it's because they're named N'Keal Harry. I don't know.
I was just about to say, but, who do you think he likes better? Tyler Johnson or N'Keal Harry? Who's a better wide receiver that Tom Brady's thrown to?
He likes Tyler Johnson more. He didn't like Jacoby Myers last year either, but you know, Tom Brady's going to Tom Brady. What can I say? I'll go into mine before we get to Tyler. Mine, a little bit of recency bias here, but this is one of Doug's guys from the days of way back. I used first-round picks, late first-rounders on this player just a few years ago because I was sold. He's shown promises. Now, he's been in a little bit of a logjam on his current team. He is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. I do not believe his current team is going to re-sign them as they have a big money tight end and a nice rookie on that squad as well. The player I'm talking about is David Njoku. Now, we saw him today. He's had injuries over the years. They've been kind of freaky fluke injuries. We all know what he brings to the table in terms of athleticism. I think David Njoku is going to sign somewhere as a free agent and be the guy. I think he has the capability to be the guy and get you probably one of those 50 to 60 reception, 800 yards, 6 to 7 touchdown type seasons, which to me, that means he's going to be a tight end one because that's the world that we live in. But I think David Njoku is a name that a lot of people have kind of forgotten about because he was buried on the Browns depth chart. You know, Harrison Bryant. I always get those two Bryants confused. Harrison Bryant came in, looked really good in his rookie season. They obviously spent big money on Hooper. But there's a lot of teams that David Njoku can go to and be the tight end there. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. So for me, Njoku's a buy because I see him as being a starter somewhere. I'm going to bank on the athleticism. I'm going to bank on what I've seen from him so far in the NFL. Now, has he had some concerns with drops? He has, but he's also made some pretty high degree of difficulty catches as well. Really big red zone target. We know he can stretch the field. We saw more of that today. So I think today kind of got David Njoku's name back into people's brains, but I still think he's a really nice buy candidate. In a tight end premium league, you can probably land David Njoku for a third round pick, I would say, pretty easily. And I'm going to do that every single time. Now, I used to own David Njoku in almost all my dynasty teams. I've sold him in a couple when his stock was high. Tyler, I think we made a trade for him back in the day, and I sold him for a good amount. But I still have him on some rosters because I still believe, and I think you should still believe as well. So go and check prices on David Njoku. Tyler, who you got as your player to buy?
Mine is Gabe Davis from Buffalo Bills. With John Brown kind of having those injuries, I really like Gabe Davis. He came in, he's a fourth-round pick. Guy had 7 touchdowns this year, 35 receptions, almost 600 yards. Gabe Davis with those numbers and his playing time he had, I think are going to go up. He's going to be a good wide receiver three, wide receiver four for your team in the future. And if he gets more snaps, and I think Josh Allen and him have a good connection, and he's the other outside receiver next to Diggs, there's a chance this guy can keep bumping up his fantasy value. And I think right now you could get him for a third, maybe even a couple fourth rounders to a team from a team that may only have him on the taxi. So yeah, give me Gabe Davis, and I think he's going to keep going up in value.
Yeah, I like that call. John Brown is the sneakiest 30-year-old receiver in the league. he came in as an older rookie. I think he was 25 when he broke in, kind of that Cooper Kupp model. So John Brown all of a sudden is like 30 years old, and he's been good when he's been healthy, but I think he's going to probably get paid elsewhere. So I think that does clear the space for Gabe Davis to take over and be part of the big four pass catchers, along with Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs, and of course our boy Dawson Knox. So I like that call, Tyler. 2-4. So you really think that gets it done for good old Gabriel?
I think in the right league with an owner that may just have him kind of on the taxi, maybe in a during the draft, you're sitting there and you got 2 fourth rounders in this year's draft, and he has somebody he wants to snag up, and you could be like, okay, I'll give you my 2 fourths for Gabe Davis. I think it could get it done. At the right time, the right person, I think it could get it done.
Okay. Interesting. I like the thought process. All right. Those are our players to buy this week here on the Dynasty Happy Hour. So let's get into, we've got some questions for Dynasty conversations. Now, Tyler, we had 2 Twitter questions, did we not?
Yeah, we had one from your buddy, Joshua Trotta. And let me find it here. Joshua Trotta says, why were so many saying hold Taylor, Akers, and Swift after their slow start, but all are quick to call CEH a bust, even though he was the only week one starter of the group? If they are all given a pass when they struggled, why isn't he? He's asking for a friend.
Which he's asking Doug. For himself, actually.
I think he's asking you. Of the three of us, you seem to have been the one that was most vocal about CH being mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, I call them MEH. I call them meh.
Meh.
And Josh and I have had many debates about this on Trophy Time before. So he's asking for himself because he owns Clyde Edwards-Helaire in our home Dynasty League. For me, it goes like this. So I understand that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he had the first round draft capital. He goes on to the best offense in the league at the time when he was drafted. They scored the third most points in the NFL this year. The things that concern me about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he pretty much had 1 year of college production, and it was on the best college team of all time when it comes to scoring points. And, you know, he was behind Nick Brossonette. Yeah, exactly. So for me, I was like, all right, is he a one-year wonder? Like, I understand, like, looking at his tape, like, I saw a good player, but I didn't see, like, this slam dunk 101 to me. So that's, like, there was some yellow flags with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, we go into the season. He has some sturdy games. He's kind of involved in the passing game a little bit to start, and then he gets a little bit better. To me, it comes down to, like, if you look at his goal line work, they started to give him goal line work early in the season. I think he was 0 for 15. In rushes inside the 10 or the 5 for scoring a touchdown, that's a problem because you want your running back to be able to score touchdowns. So for me, I wouldn't call Clyde Edwards-Helaire a bust. I think it's really hard to look at Helaire and be like, oh, he's a bust after his first year. You know, he got injured. They bring in Le'Veon Bell for whatever reason. Maybe they thought they could catch lightning in a bottle with Le'Veon Bell. Update, you didn't. So with Helaire, I don't think he's a bust. I think that you saw some productive games from him. Like, he was an RB1 for some weeks, but he just wasn't consistent. It didn't seem like they wanted to commit to Helaire in their game plans, which is puzzling because they used a first-round pick on this guy.
Yeah.
So you figured he was gonna touch the ball a ton.
For me, it was either they wanted to throw him the ball or they wanted to give him the ball in the running game. It wasn't both. That was an issue of mine.
I just looked at this backfield too. So Damian Williams opts out of the season. I think he's under contract next year, which for me is a little bit of a red flag for Helaire because look what Damian Williams did in the Super Bowl.
look how they use Damian Williams. To me, if I look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire tape and Damian Williams tape from 2019, I look at that and I look and say, Damian Williams is the better player.
Yeah, so, maybe. I mean, I still have hopes for CEH. And honestly, in this class, where would you have him ranked in this class? What would you give up in picks for CEH at the moment with his value kind of... His value and recency bias, because fantasy a lot this year has become recency bias. And
oh, for sure. It is every year.
Yeah, with Helaire, I feel like his price has lowered. What pick in this draft would you trade for Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Would you guys give up the 105?
No.
Would you give up the...
I'd probably give up the 109.
See,
108, 109, I don't think
that would do it, though.
No.
It may. Looking at Clyde's scoring, though, this year, anytime he had, 50% of the snaps or more, he had only one game where he was below 10 points. And it was a bad one. It was 4.9 PPR points. But overall, he wasn't bad. He just wasn't. I think what we saw from him at LSU and then, he gets drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs and everybody's saying, oh my God, this guy's going to put up 25, 30 points a week.
He has
and
the
that
big,
wasn't happening.
The big week so one. The big week one, definitely. I think that was the issue. The big week one kind of raised his value and our expectations got like way overboard.
Well, people wanted to be like, oh, remember Kareem Hunt's first week against the Patriots? Yeah. Like, yeah.
I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's a rookie, no training camp. I think the best is yet to come. I think he will get better. I just think that with the roadblocks, I think Andy Reid kind of got in his own way with having Darrell Williams, who is a guy. And I get he had a decent game today, but he's a guy. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is better than him, but I think the issue was they never gave him a sturdy workload. It was either like 10 carries one game, then it was like 25 carries game script, and they never really passed him the ball. It was always Darrell Williams coming in as a pass catcher. It was weird to me, and I think a lot of it had to do with no training camp and kind of getting a hold of the playbook and pass protection and all that stuff. So I think he will have better days.
Yeah, he only topped 20 carries three times this season and only had more than five targets in the passing game four times. So the workload should increase.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just not I was never sold as Helaire for the 101.
I should have stuck to my guns and stick to a Swift because I mean player wise Swift is the more elite player.
I would agree. Tyler, what was the other question? I said we had another question.
We do not have another question. That was our only one. We kind of hit Twitter late.
Sure?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Hold on. I had it up, but that's fine. All right. So let's move on. We want to talk a little bit about some of the head coaching moves here in the NFL and then a little bit how it may impact some of our favorite fantasy players as well as the draft coming up. Have you guys heard anything about the NFL Combine? Is it going on as planned is what I heard?
I haven't heard anything, so maybe no news is good news.
I hope so. I thought they were going to announce something that it was going to go on as it is. So I'll look into that in the meantime. But so the big news here for new coaches for me is Urban Meyer. He's going to be the coach at Jacksonville. He's got the number one pick in the draft. He's a proven winner at multiple programs. The last 2 years he has not coached because he had a health scare, I think his last year at Ohio State.
That people should not make fun of. I get it's a running joke, no. But I mean.
They have five top 65 picks. They're going to have quite a bit of money available in free agency. This is a plum location for a coach to land in. Now, Urban Meyer, it's a little bit different going from college to NFL. There's been a lot of history where those moves haven't worked out. I mean, Nick Saban's been an awesome college head coach, but he didn't really cut it at the NFL level. So it's going to be Spurrier. Yeah, it's going to be interesting how Urban Meyer can adapt to the NFL game. But he is set up with a franchise with the 101. I think they're going to take Trevor Lawrence because it's a slam dunk, to be honest. They've got some nice pieces on that team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Tyler, what was your first thought when you heard that Urban Meyer was going to coach the Jacksonville Jaguars?
So usually when you have a coach come in, it's like an offensive-minded coach or a defensive-minded coach. And I actually went to Rich Dotson, who's a big Ohio State fan. And I asked him, I said, what is the allure with Urban Meyer? And he just said he's a winner. So, okay, I get he's a winner, but what does he specialize in? Was it recruiting? Was he a good recruiter? Because you can't do that in the NFL. The NFL is drafting. You have to be a good scout evaluator. You can't just go by, okay, this is the number one scout in the country. Let's just go out and recruit this guy. My question with Urban Meyer is, what is he going to do and bring to Jacksonville that's going to be different to everything else? I mean, I get you have the number one pick. You've got some offensive weapons, but what is your offense going to look like? Are you going to bring this Ohio State offensive game, which was RPO and a lot of running? So, okay, James Robinson is good at that. The offensive line proved really well in the running game. But what does that mean for Trevor Lawrence? Like, if we're going to take Trevor Lawrence 101, what does that exactly mean if they're going to be a run-first offense? Is Urban Meyer going to kind of build a team around today's NFL and make it more of a passing attack? Is he the kind of coach that is able to do that? That I've got more questions than I do answers with this coaching hire. And as much as everybody wanted this to happen, I'm really curious to see how it works out. And if it does, good. I mean, I'm happy. If it doesn't, it kind of solidifies my thinking, and I'm just more confused by the hiring than I am anything else.
For me, Urban Meyer, I'm very interested to see the staff he puts around himself. I want to see the offensive and defensive coordinators he brings in there, because really, I think Urban himself is just looking to be the leader, and that's everything I know about Urban Meyer is he's a great leader of men and young men. Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, and then Ohio State. He succeeded at all those programs at the college level. I've heard him talk before about, four to six A to B. The average length of a football play is 4 to 6 seconds, and your job is to go from point A to point B, whether that's in coverage or, pass rush or running the football or running your route. And his motivation tactics of, we go 100% for 4 to 6 seconds from point A to point B.
Sounds like my life in some areas.
Yeah. Once the lights go off and the wife and you are alone.
Four to six seconds. A to B.
Boom. 4 to 6, A to B. It's in, it's out. We're done. High five. Yeah. See you later, lady. Get out there
good
and
old
shovel.
Scream. Good old woo. Yeah.
But no, I think he's going to be the guy that's going to get this team going. Before practices, before games, and he's going to leave it up to the coordinators to do their jobs. That's kind of how I see it.
I could see
I'm
that.
Just interested to see the staff he puts around.
That to me sounds like it would be a better game plan. He's like you said, he's a leader. He's a coach. He's one of the old school coaches that, yeah, he had a game plan, but he was more there for you, the player, and then he kind of let his coordinators do their thing, which I think should be more of the norm. I don't think coaches should come in and be like, okay, I'm the coordinator for defense or offense, because I think it hurts them coaching. It hurts them leading a team.
And like Doug mentioned, five top 65 picks. Still being this tied into the college game and having this many contacts in the college game, he's going to have that inside track on some of these recruits that some of these other scouting departments, especially this year, won't have. And, if he's working with a GM that's going to take his advice and take his word, they could really, really have a good windfall in this year's draft and walk away in the next 2 or 3 years really being a monster team.
Yeah, and there's rumors Curtis Samuel is going to go there. Now, would you like that?
Former Ohio State players.
Would you like that?
Former Ohio State players going there, helping him push along his message.
I know we like Laviska Shenault as a buy this year. Curtis Samuel going there, I think, would really hurt Visca's value. But then you think about it. They got Chark, and then Laviska on the outside. Then you can have Samuel as a slot, and they could have a big group.
Well, you could Shenault and Samuel are pretty interchangeable.
That's true. And then, I mean, you got a guy. You're going to have a running back who's very good and a quarterback who's very good on rookie deals for the next 3 years, at least for the running back. And that is going to help your money-wise. Like, that's going to be huge.
And can please Josh Oliver stay healthy? That'd be great.
Well, James Robinson was undrafted, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think after next year,
he'll be a restricted free agent.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let's go, Tyler. This one's near and dear to your heart. Your Falcons have a new head coach, and it's Arthur Smith from the Tennessee Titans.
The most average name.
I mean, Artie Smith.
We go to Dan Quinn to Arthur Smith.
How do you think this move changes the Falcons' offense, and who do you think they're going to be in line to take with the number 4 pick in the draft?
That is a good question. I do think with the move, they do keep Matt Ryan. I know there's rumors of him moving. I do think they keep Julio. My question is at 4, you see Julio with these injuries. You see you were playing Russell Gage, who had a decent season, but is he the guy that you're going to trust if Julio keeps getting hurt? I don't think so.
Yeah.
At 4, if they did go receiver, I'd like to see him go Chase. But if they went receiver and they went Smith, I mean, you got a Calvin Ridley-like clone in my eyes. I mean, I think Smith has it all. He's more of a jump ball guy. Ridley is more of a technician. Like quarterback is one of those things. Like, are you going to be able to pick this high? Kind of like where Dallas Cowboys took Zeke. And they were like, oh, you should have taken a quarterback because you're not going to pick this high again. They took Dak that same draft. I could see Atlanta possibly trading back and then taking like a guy like Najee Harris in the late teens and kind of emulating that Tennessee running game with that Derrick Henry-esque type runner, because Atlanta is not going to find it unless they sign Gus Edwards. That's probably my only option. If you want a Derrick Henry-like runner, I mean, Gus Edwards isn't the size of Henry. I don't think a tow truck is the size of Derrick Henry. But
he's that physical, punishing, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that would be a great, great signing for them. I think they need to kind of just wipe that whole entire running back group. I mean, just get rid of it. The wide receivers, I think they need a receiver. Laquon Treadwell as your 4 is not going to be the answer. I get he scored a touchdown late in the year, but okay.
What's their DB situation down there?
AJ Terrell had his ups and downs. They have the guy from Colorado they drafted like 3 or 4 years ago who is still progressing. That defense is going to be interesting because in Tennessee they ran a 3-4. Is Arthur Smith going to want to go to a 3-4? If so, you're going to have Grady Jarrett playing that Aaron Darnold type defensive end, defensive tackle, kind of chess piece in the, you know, on the line. But that's it. They're going to have to completely redo that defense. There's a lot of moves they're going to have to make. And it's going to be interesting. I asked Travis, who is in the UDPL, Travis May. He's a big Tennessee Titans fan. He said Arthur Smith has changed a lot since he came in and changed his philosophy. And he said he did interesting things with the tight end, which that would be another thing if they went Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts could be a game changer for them. And you can play Hayden Hurst and Pitts. So they can go a lot of routes. They can go quarterback. They can go wide receiver. They can trade back. My issue is at 4, I don't think they're going to go defense. I think they could go offensive tackle because they do want to run the ball with Arthur Smith. So the guy from Oregon, Sewell, is that his name?
Penny Sewell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he could be a prime choice there, but I think they could get a lot for trading back, and I think that would actually be a very smart move for them for a team that has a lot of needs, and there's a lot of teams that need quarterback.
Yeah, especially a team with a new general manager, too. I think it's one of those things is like, all right, how many pieces on the chessboard can I get?
Yeah.
You know, can I move back and accumulate picks and keep accumulating picks? If they want to really try to rebuild this roster and put their stamp on it, I think that's definitely on the table, because when you look at the number 4 pick, to me, if I'm building a team, I have an older quarterback in Matt Ryan who's making big money. Like, I'm picking 4. Like, if this is Zach Wilson or someone that I really like, it's going to be hard not to take a quarterback there.
That's true.
Like, let's be honest, because, I mean, you're not going to get one at the top of the second round, I don't think. So if you really like Zach Wilson, take him. Maybe he sits for a year under Ryan, and then you reevaluate Matt Ryan at that point, who I think still has some decent trade value in the NFL. And there's plenty of teams looking for quarterbacks. So Matt Ryan is a desirable asset, regardless, because good quarterbacks are hard to find. And I think Matt Ryan is still pretty good. So I agree with that.
Let's not forget Arthur Smith's dad, Fred Smith, the founder of FedEx. The Atlanta Falcons are going to get free shipping on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh, and it's gonna get there fast.
And that Chick-fil-A in the stadium will still be closed on Sundays.
It's true. They don't waver.
I still don't get that. That made no sense. I was talking to my wife about that because she wanted Chick-fil-A on Sunday, and I said, yeah, they're not even open in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I thought one of the colleges play there, though.
It's the Lord's Day, Tyler.
And also,
that's why they're not open.
And also their soccer team, who is very good, they play it on Sundays. Does
Georgia Tech play there?
Hmm. It is what it is. What are you going to do? So, Tim, your Eagles no longer have a head coach. Doug Peterson has been, they hit the eject button on Doug. Apparently, there was some dissent within the ranks of Doug Peterson wanting to go Jalen Hurts, the owner still wanting to stick with Carson Wentz. And Peterson, you know, strong-willed kind of guy, and he got the old boot. So, three-part question here, Tim. Who do you think is going to be the replacement? Is Miles Sanders going to have an increased role? And is it going to be Wentz or Hurts going forward?
And why is the head coach going to be Adam Gase to make you just tear your face off?
You know, hey. I don't be Adam Gase. Oh, man. I didn't even think of that until now. And now that you said it, it's only the only thing I think of.
I'll get back
to the head coach because I don't want to think about Gase right now. Miles Sanders has not had over 200 carries in his career in the NFL so far. So, Miles Sanders should see an uptick in work. He has to. I mean, the guy is showing when he gets work, he produces. So give the man more work. As far as the Wentz and Hurts conversation goes, if that truly was the reason that Peterson is gone, that he wanted Jalen Hurts and the ownership and the GM wanted Wentz, it would only make sense that whatever coach they are talking to, they're having that conversation. Hey, we really want Wentz. We want Wentz to be our guy. Go out there and make
Frank Reich is looking to get out of Indy, I just heard, so he can coach Carson Wentz because of their intimate relationship.
Brandon Staley literally just got hired to be the Los Angeles Chargers head coach.
Really?
Breaking news.
I thought it was going to be Brian Dabble.
Dable.
Dabble.
He dabbled in it a little bit and then...
I was going to say Brian Dable as who I'd want the Eagles to hire, but everything seemed like he was going to be the Chargers' next head coach, so I was kind of not going to mention his name. But now, let's go with Brian Dable.
What are you talking about? Adam Gase has already put a stamp on it.
hey, listen, I don't want to admit to a future crime on a podcast, but it would be sad if Adam Gase got hired by the Philadelphia Eagles and then went missing. Don't check.
Welcome to the True Crime Podcast.
The waters off the Atlantic City coast.
True Crime Podcast. God, say that 10 times fast. With the disappearance of Adam Gase. Tim has been out for weeks. We don't know where he is.
I may or may not know where some, you know, fishing spots are off the coast of Atlantic City. You dump the body. The fish
just
there.
They take don't look into Gase's eyes. You'll turn to stone. Those are rumors. Yeah.
That is very true. So we were just going to talk a little bit about Brian Dable. And I thought he might get that Chargers job, which I was going to love. You put Brian Dable on a team that has Justin Herbert and some really good offensive pieces. Ooh, that would have been nice. I don't know much about their new head coach, so I'm not going to comment much
Brandon
on that.
Brandon Staley, the DC for the Rams.
Very smart. I mean,
oh, that's done, right.
Very smart.
That's right.
He's done great work. I mean, they got rid of one of the all-time great defensive coordinators in Wade Phillips. There's going to be those questions of, oh, God, you know, this defense might fall apart. And Staley did a fantastic job this year. Normally teams will kind of flip-flop. They'll take that defensive side of guy, and then they go get the offense. The Falcons are doing now. They just had Dan Quinn, who was supposed to be this defensive guru. They tried it out with him. It didn't work out. So now they're going to get this guy that's worked wonders with Tannehill and the Titans offense, where the Chargers just got rid of a defensive-minded head coach. And I've hired another one. So
you know what really wrecked my day today? Realizing that LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan were both assistants on Atlanta Falcons team while Dan Quinn was coach. Oh, we should have just been like, okay, Dan Quinn, you're gone, and just bring up one of those two. It makes it so much harder when you have, like, with the Eagles, with Frank Reich, you realize that guy was the guy you wanted all along, and it wasn't Peterson. And it's kind of like with Atlanta.
Frank Reich with Indy, Sean McDermott up in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Andy Reid's and Casey. I mean, all these guys that are still in the playoffs, you know.
How about you, Doug?
Yeah.
You guys have had the same coach for what seems like 80 years.
Yeah, he has. They have the best one, so they don't have to worry about trying to find somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, eventually we will. I mean, Belichick's getting close to 70 years old. There's a lot of rumors of, like, how much longer does he want to do it? Does he want to go through a whole, like, bring in a young quarterback type of thing? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think you've got the coach, the next coach in the building with Josh McDaniels. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I'll tell you what, if there's any of these new coaches that I would want next to me in a street fight, it's the New York Jets' new coach, Robert Saleh,
yeah,
from the San Francisco 49ers, who did wonders. You want to talk about a guy, the Niners had injuries left and right on defense, and yet the Niners' defense was good all year long. So this is a great hire, another good situation. He's going to come into here. The Jets have the number two pick. There's been a lot of rumors that Sam Darnold is going to be their guy. So maybe they don't draft a quarterback here.
Imagine if they don't have Smith. I don't know. Nobody's really putting that situation on the board.
If that's the case, I think they trade back a couple picks and let somebody else come get the quarterback and receiver. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, at two, I think they probably go offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see them taking Sewell to line up with Becton.
Could you imagine those two? Yeah.
Like, just run left. Run left.
Becton is two people himself. So they would have...
You have four guys blocking on that side of the line.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to play right tackle, and then Becton's left tackle. You don't even need to have guards. You could just have extra wide receivers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Jets need a lot of work on defense. They do have some building blocks with Quinnen Williams. You know, C.J. Mosley is going to be back after holding out for the season due to COVID concerns. So they've got some pieces. Marcus May is a free agent on defense. But I think, you know, with the amount of picks that they have, another great candidate, like you said, to trade down, accumulate picks, build a lot of talent. On offensive side of the ball, you know, they don't have a running back really there. I mean, LaMichael Perine, I don't think he's the guy. He's a guy who can contribute, sure. But they've got Jamison Crowder. We all know they have Denzel Mims. Rashad Perriman is a free agent. I don't think he'll be back. Chris Herndon, I think... Again, another tight end that I want to buy is Chris Herndon, who came on strong at the end of the year. If they stick with Darnold, I mean, they think, you know, there's been multiple people in that organization that feel that Darnold is special and he just hasn't had a chance to show it. I don't disagree with them. I think Darnold has shown flashes. He's just been in the shittiest situation for the last few years.
Yeah.
And he's still super young. Like, isn't he younger than... what quarterback
he's
coming
younger
out?
Than Joe,
Mac Jones? He's younger than Mac
he's
Jones,
younger
right?
than Joe Burrow. I think Darnold just turned 19, I think, a month ago, is what everybody's saying.
Yeah, so he's still super young. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting situation how that plays out for the Jets. But I think he is a very exciting hire. So now with coaching situations, we still have the Houston Texans, who obviously no one really wants that job right now.
Yeah.
Update on the Deshaun Watson situation is that he's pretty much Schefter tweeted today that it's pretty much a done deal that Deshaun Watson is going to be out of town. He has a no-trade clause, so he gets to control where he wants to go. Obviously, the rumors have been around Miami. Is Miami going to give up the number three pick, maybe Tua Tagovailoa, as well as like the number 16 pick and some other picks to get Deshaun Watson? If you're running a real football team, I think I would do that deal because Deshaun Watson is awesome.
I think it's good for either way. And Houston's rebuilding. They need the picks. They need the capital for picks. Tua, I don't think, is a bad quarterback. I would absolutely hate to see him go to Houston behind that line, but I do think they would solidify that line with the third pick. Hopefully they can get Sewell. And and then you got Fuller, you got Cooks, you got another...
Well, you might have Fuller. He's a free agent.
That's true. I mean, it's smart for both sides, but I think Miami actually keeps Tua. I get the rumors floating around, but I think Miami's actually going to hold Tua. That's my guess. If I had to guess anything. Because why not? You got a rookie quarterback. Your defense is phenomenal. And you don't need to put so much pressure on this rookie. And you got an offensive coordinator. You're looking for a new one to put with Tua. You're actually hiring a new one for Tua Tagovailoa.
But if they trade for Watson, like, why would you keep Tua?
I mean, trade for Watson, get Bill O'Brien.
What's Houston going to do at quarterback?
The objective of playing in the NFL is to win Super Bowls, and if your defense is as good as the Dolphins has been and as young as they are, you would expect them to keep getting better. If you go get a quarterback like Watson, that's going to vault you. I mean, they just missed the playoffs this year. That's going to vault you into that playoff conversation. And if you get hot in December, there you are. Or, I'm sorry, January, there you are. You're playing in February. So Watson's that kind of quarterback. Do that for a franchise. I don't know if Tua and the third is the right price. And from all the reports I'm reading, all the rumors I'm hearing about how bad this is actually getting for Deshaun Watson and how much he actually wants out of there, I know originally he said Miami was one of the places he wouldn't mind going. It might get to that point, though, that Deshaun decides, hey, if they're not willing to give up whatever you guys think you need from me, let's start talking to some of these other teams. He could end up in another spot.
Raiders. Derek Carr plus for Deshaun Watson.
It's just going to be a messy situation. These situations, it's not like the NFL isn't the NBA.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
Like James Harden, like fake gains 50 pounds and gets traded. And then like Deshaun, like in the NBA, the
you
players dictate
Henry?
Where they go.
Mark Henry?
Yes. Yeah. So in the NBA, a player gets grumpy, he gets traded. It's pretty easy. In the NFL, it doesn't work that way. So, Deshaun Watson was upset because they hired Nick Caserio, who's obviously from the Patriots, Bill O'Brien from the Patriots coaching tree. He wanted a say in that, which to me, like, I have thoughts around, like, all right, if an NFL player, especially the quarterback, wants say in who you're bringing in as the general manager, to me, it's like, all right, you're the player. Like, you're not part of the front office. Like, okay, we'll maybe listen to you, but you're not the final word on anything. So I think part of this is like, I love Deshaun Watson as a player, but I think part of me is like, he's being a big baby. I understand the situation sucks, but if he thinks he's going to be calling shots because he signed a long-term deal or who they're going to bring in as the general manager and stuff like that, I kind of, it makes me feel a little about it.
Yeah, you wouldn't see Josh Allen doing it. Pat Mahomes.
You wouldn't see anybody doing it.
I don't think Pat Mahomes would. But if they want, like, if he wanted to, he could. Like, that's the thing. Mahomes could, but I don't think he would. He'd probably just be like, okay, whatever.
Here's the thing. If it was so bad, don't sign the long-term deal.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you look like a hypocrite. You're like, oh, I just signed, like, a deal for $40 million a year. Now I think I'm entitled to tell you who to hire. Like, that doesn't sit well with me. And I thought, again, Deshaun Watson, amazing player. Love him on the field. But it just gives me that kind of, like, it's like an uncomfortable type of vibe.
Hey, you wouldn't
when a
see Wentz
that.
Doing
like,
that.
Well, someone has to want you.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Good point.
That's part of the equation. So that's really all we got for head coach stuff. Tyler, you want to take it from here? You want to just open it up and chat?
Tyler, I actually, there was more questions and I do have them pulled up if you'd like to hear.
I thought there was more.
Let's hear
them. Damn you, Tyler.
Okay. So James Robinson's outlook. We kind of touched.
I think they roll with him for another year, see how he is. I would not be shocked if Reichwell Armstead comes in and does take a little bit of that pie. If Reichwell Armstead becomes healthy again, I hope he does. I think he's a good talent. But I do think they will bring somebody in if it's not Reichwell Armstead, and they will take some carries away. But I think Robinson's safe. I don't think he's a top 10 running back value-wise safe.
You want a hot take?
What?
Go ahead.
I just thought of this the other day. It probably will never happen. But what if the Jacksonville Jaguars trade with the Dallas Cowboys and they trade for Zeke Elliott?
Ooh. Oh.
I don't see Jerry doing that. I think Jerry really likes
it. I could
see, they're up against it.
I could see Jerry
I don't
doing
know.
That. I could see Jerry doing that. I mean, they need to
have Urban Meyer gets his player back. He's still, they got plenty of cap room. I don't know.
I didn't even put the Ohio State connection.
I thought of it the other day, and I was the thought had gone through my mind. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the thought at least went through my mind of like, that could make sense.
Yeah,
definitely. What about Jerry Jeudy? Jerry Jeudy's
I love him. If they can get a new quarterback in, that guy is going to eat. And that is a big if. They need a new quarterback. I think there's going to be a lot of choices for free agent quarterbacks. I do think Matt Stafford could be on the move, and there's going to be some others that are going to become available. God, I mean, Elway's out of the picture. He's not the GM anymore. I think that's a very good thing. And I think that who they bring in, the Vikings, one of the Vikings.
Patton.
Yeah, who is a fantastic scout developer. He's very good at what he did for Minnesota. He helped out with our drafts, and we actually had a pretty good hit rate. Unlike the Patriots with wide receivers in the draft. So But yeah, I think Elway kind of stepping back from that general manager position and just letting it go is going to help out with the quarterback position. I think they're going to evaluate it more and say, hey, you know, Drew Lock is not helping us win. And he's not, I mean, he's not really making us lose, but he's not helping us win. And when you're stuck in the middle like that, you're going to kind of realize maybe it's time to get a veteran, somebody with all these weapons that can really push this offense to the next level. And I'm excited to see it because Jerry Jeudy is a phenomenal talent and I still like his outlook.
So Doug, any thoughts on Jeudy?
Yeah, so since you asked me and Tyler kind of steamrolled me, my thoughts on Jeudy, I think he's a strong buy this offseason because, you know, you look at people are going to remember like, oh, he had that game with a bunch of drops and he was super inconsistent. But the thing that's the most important thing to me is that they're going to get Courtland Sutton back. So Jerry Judy's not going to have the pressure of being the number one guy in his rookie season. He's going to see more favorable coverage as the number two. And to me, it's like, all right, he showed promise in his rookie year. Like, get him on the other side across from Courtland Sutton, and he should be able to flourish in year two. So I'm going out and trying to buy Jeudy. I don't think it's going to take a ton. Maybe you could, I bet in some leagues you could get Jeudy for an early second.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, because of recency bias, people will be like, ew, maybe they didn't like him.
That's the case.
That happens every...
What can you get Jalen Reagor for?
I'll give probably you a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
Probably a mid to late.
Oh, that's sad. And
I know it is. I still like the player, yeah, but people are going to see it and be like, we don't know what's going on in Philadelphia. Yeah. We don't know who the quarterback is. It's a goddamn mess. Like, just get this guy off my team. There are managers that are going to do that.
Yeah.
So if I could get him for a mid-second, I'd be happy
with
that.
Or ham sandwich. I mean, what about half a ham sandwich? What if you talked him into half the ham sandwich?
Now,
I'll do a half a ham sandwich and some chips.
Oh. Is it like that ham that you get in the plastic tub, or is it like freshly carved?
Nice, fresh deli ham.
Like boar's head?
Off
like
the
a nice
bone.
Boar's head ham?
Yes, a boar's head deli ham.
Maple we'll honey
some,
ham?
Some nice. We'll put some nice Swiss cheese on there.
Some mustard.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
No mustard.
Being we're doing coaches, another one just came across. The Detroit Lions are expected to hire Mr. Dan Campbell. Remember Mr. Jack Mode down there in Miami a few years ago?
I do.
Saints assistant. Dan Campbell looks to be the next Detroit Lions head coach. Any thoughts on Dan Campbell?
Oh, God. Really? Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, Tyler, don't like
it.
Detroit.
He seems like a run-the-football guy.
I think there were probably better options out there.
Oh, my God. Like, Detroit had...
At the end of the day...
Detroit had Stanley, I thought. Like, I was almost sure that was their hire.
No, he saw that defense and was like, nah, I want to go coach Derwin James.
Yeah, that's true. And
in Los Angeles.
As a head coach, you are to be the leader in the building. You're supposed to be the adult. Your job is to now go find bright stars to put under you. And under your umbrella. Go find those coordinators that are going to be stars, and hopefully Dan Campbell can do it.
I mean, I'd listen to Dan Campbell.
Let's see.
I mean, if he still looks like he used to.
I mean, a tight ends coach to an NFL coach?
Where was he coaching? Was he the Saints?
New Orleans.
He was the Saints, yeah.
Okay.
So now that they're eliminated,
They
can announce.
That's weird. I don't know about that one.
Yep.
It seems like it's just a coaching retread. They could have done something different there, I feel. Yeah.
Detroit's going to Detroit.
And then now, along with the past two questions we've had with James Robinson and Jerry Jeudy, this gentleman asks, trade offer he received in a 12-team non-superflex, Robinson and Jeudy for the 101, 109, and Deebo Samuel.
So, non-superflex.
Non-superflex.
101.
101.
109.
109.
I would do that. Deebo I would Samuel. Do the picks. Because you're in a
I would do the picks too.
Non-superflex, you're going to get Najee. You're going to get Najee Harris, who looks to be, I don't know, in this running back, the past running back class, he'd be up there. I mean, he'd be pretty up there. I get he's older, but man, what he's shown in the national title game. Oof.
If you needed receiver, you know, there's receivers.
Yep, 109.
There that take it to 101 for sure. The running back class isn't very deep, so that 109, you're probably not going to love the running back options there. But the wide
maybe you can get a. You, I mean, if it's single quarterback, you might be able to get one of those quarterbacks at the end of.
Yeah, you could get a Trevor end. Or Fields, or you could get a Pitts at 109, which would be a game changer. You could get Rondell Moore, who has been mocked to Green Bay, which would be a difference maker. There's a lot of receivers in the back end of the first that you're going to like. So I think
if James Robinson doesn't handcuff your running back core, taking like a Smith at 101, Pitts at 109, and you're getting Debo.
Yeah, I mean your wide receivers are and you got a top five tight end probably for like the next 10 years. Yeah. I mean, Pitts is going to be one of those situations where you're going to hit like 106, and you're going to have the decision of taking a.
Yeah, do I take a tight end at 106 or am I?
And I mean, if people are sitting there saying, okay, tight ends take a while, buy the tight end year two. Pitts, I have a feeling, is just going to be the guy that's like, okay, he got 800 yards and 7 touchdowns year one.
You remember Noah Fant's last 3 games of his rookie season, though? I mean, normally it does take tight ends a little while, and Pitts is better than Fant. But we finally saw Fant at the end of his rookie season, those last 3 games. You know, he's putting up tight end one numbers like it was nothing.
So I was watching Kyle Trask's tape, and I sat there and I go, okay, Trask is good, but every time I'm watching this tape, 84 is just there, and he's making plays, and he's open, and he's running after the catch, and I'm just like, okay, Trask is
looking like a young Ben Watson.
Trask has shown such good ability for me, like accuracy wise, but is it Trask or is it just like targeting Pitts 15 times a game because Pitts is such a monster.
They have Tony too, who's really good.
Yeah, he is another player. But yeah, I think it gives you options at the 101. You could trade back a couple spots, and you could still take a Smith, a Chase, an Etienne if Najee's the 101. But yeah, you're gonna have tons of options. I like Judy still. I think the value for Robinson is not 101. I think Robinson's value would lie on the 109, and you're not going to. I don't think Judy's worth 101 at the moment.
No.
And you're getting Debo. And if Debo's healthy, there's a wide receiver 3 for your team.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I like it. So that's all the questions we got off
there. That's all we got for questions. So open forum for the next, I don't know, like 5 or 10 minutes or so. What's on you guys' minds? What's
Dan
going on, Tyler?
Campbell?
You always have stuff
Dan
to talk
Campbell?
About.
Oh, my God. I'd rather have Campbell's soup.
I mean, they do make some good soups.
I mean.
What's the go-to?
The go-to?
I'd rather have Paris Campbell.
I mean, the go-to, you got to go beef stew. That's some good stuff.
Okay.
I don't do soup.
What?
You don't do any soup? What? You don't do soup, stew, chili?
No, not really.
What?
Never been a big fan.
So Dynasty Happy Hour is looking for a new host. And yes, we are looking for...
You need to love soups.
You need to love soups.
Do you like
soup?
Do you like chili? Then come join us every Sunday night.
This time of year, it's a very simple meal to make. Grilled cheese and tomato soup.
No, won't go tomato soup. I'd rather die.
I had some cheese.
You had me a grilled cheese.
Yeah, grilled cheese, fantastic. Put some jalapenos in there. Put some bacon in that grilled cheese.
Make it with mayonnaise.
I had some grilled cheese with, I made one with some provolone and some...
Framunda.
With some provolone, mozzarella, and a little salami earlier today.
Salami, nice. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Have you guys made your grilled cheese with mayonnaise?
Yes.
Out? Have you tried that?
I've heard it. It's different.
I
also bought avocado mayo the other day, and if it sits on the bread too long, it turns into butter. It looks like it's weird. Yeah,
it doesn't brown like avocado.
It like hits
too.
The air and like changes consistency.
Yeah, it's weird. It's got pretty good flavor. I'm not an avocado fan. Yes, sue me. I don't like guacamole. I don't like avocados, but.
Looking for a new co-host.
I do want to bring up that to all the New England listeners, Doug, sorry for not saying chowder. I know that's big.
I mean,
clam chowder. Kid.
I mean, I'm not a chowder fan, but I will eat wild rice soup, which I think is a close enough consistency to chowder. You never heard of
wild rice soup?
Chicken and wild rice soup. Come on.
Yeah, I guess.
Tater tot hot dish.
I enjoy a cup of chowder.
Oh God! So anything dynasty related?
Let's go back to dynasty.
Let's draft soups.
Have you guys made any trades? I'm actually thinking about going back and kind of checking out my leagues and doing some trades. I trade, like I said last week. I've been trying to get those tight ends that are on the buy low right now, like Mike Gesicki. I mean, if Watson goes to Miami, if that happens, Gesicki's going to be huge. He's going to be a monster.
Gesicki shares. Oh God! I will say this: in leagues where I have a windfall of picks, I have decided that I'm still early in the tape sessions, but I've decided that it's better to move up into the first half of the second round and further. So things where I have like multiple thirds, I'm trying to trade multiple thirds to get, you know, a early second. And then, you know, that'll leave me with two or three seconds. I'll package a couple of them up, try to move one into the first. I don't want to, I'm not looking at this year's draft where I want seven or eight picks. I'm going to take these drafts. I'm going to package some picks together. I'm going to try to consolidate down to like three or four as early as I possibly can picks and try to take off the talent that's off the top. Cause all of these positions that I've looked at so far, you got the talent at the top and then there's some drop offs. Yeah. And of course some of those guys will hit, but It's kind of the crap.
Yeah, the quarterbacks for me, I mean, we'll get into it, but there is a huge tier break after the big two for me. And I mean, the almost like hit rate of these two, I think, is going to be high. I don't think they're going to fall on their face. But then after that, it's just like, oh, damn, like you're going to be taking a chance on these quarterbacks. Zach Wilson to me is a huge, huge kind of gamble for me. I've seen some good plays, but I need to watch more tape on these guys, and it's been actually quite fun digging into the quarterbacks because, I mean, there's a lot of fan clubs. You post on Twitter that you don't like one of these guys. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get love, and you're going to get a lot of hate, and which is good.
Well, I mean, you can say anything on Twitter, and that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, Doug just said that, and I think Twitter's coming after him.
Yeah, I've got people in my DMs already.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Put a shirt on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind.
No. There's always going to be someone that does, though.
There's currently 21 quarterbacks alone in the class. Of the 21, I still have nine to get through. I'm sorry. But some of these guys are simply just going to be backup material, camp arm stuff. There's four or five that I think have the starter upside, and not all of them are right away.
Yeah. I mean, the guy from Florida, Trask, I like. Does he have a strong enough arm? Maybe. Right system, guy's going to be a plus game manager. Like, he's going to be able to get you the wins. He's not going to lose you the game. But, I mean, that's what he is. And there's going to be a lot of specific skills to this class. And we'll talk more about it when we talk rookie quarterbacks. So I don't want to go too deep into it. But what Joe Mixon, I have been seeing a lot of trades about. And I mean, he just signed the big deal.
He didn't play for the second half of the season.
So he's a great value right
yes,
now.
Yes, and I like. What would you rather like? Where would you have him buy in this rookie class? Would you do Najee straight up for him?
I'd say for Mixon
102. I'd say one in a non-superflex 101, 102, 103. One of those three picks.
Yeah.
For Joe Mixon, okay. I mean, Mixon's going to be 25. Najee's going to be, he'll be 23 to start the season. So, I mean, you're only ganging 2 years, and that's not too much. Mixon has low tread because he's been hurt the past couple years, and Cincinnati didn't want to give him many carries. And hopefully, oh man, I can't believe they lost out on the tackle prize, the Sewell, but there's a chance they could be a team that trades up. I mean, what if they're like, okay, we kind of dug ourselves into a hole. We need to fix this. Let's just let's move up.
Protect our guy.
Yeah, let's move up. Let's get this guy. And, I mean, we'll give up.
I saw a mock today having them taking Chase at 5. That'd be wild.
That would be insane. That receiving core would be absolutely bonkers.
And Pitts, too, I saw in another mock. I was like, man, all the pass catchers for
Joe Pitts, Burrow make Pitts would be a perfect spot. That would be a prime spot because – I mean, as much as you want Drew Sample to be a thing, Tim's over here having a hard time. Legit. Oh, for real.
Man.
Yeah. Pitt.
Just imagine Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd.
Take a Pitt at 105 if he goes to Cincinnati.
Yeah. Pitt's in Cincinnati with T. Higgins, Boyd, and I mean, you could take somebody in the third, but man, you need to protect Joe Burrow, so you need to hit somebody in the free agency.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, his other knee is shaking just thinking about getting hit.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I should go look at the tackle free agency class. See, he's out there. Yeah, Dan Campbell, huh?
Dan freaking Campbell. Like, now, was he actually the coach for Miami? Wasn't he just an intern?
He was a tight ends coach that had the interim head coach tag applied to him. That Miami actually did pretty decent under him. He went to New Orleans after the next coaching staff came in, was an assistant coach there. He's been there since 2016, and he's still jacked from what I can
maybe, just see, maybe, so. He learned some things from Sean Payton.
You know what maybe. It was? It might actually be, if he has access to some of those other assistants, that might be the deal. Like, Salah is bringing LaFleur's brother to New York with him.
Yeah, Peter.
You know, I really thought
Peter Guy LaFleur.
Peter LaFleur from Dodgeball.
I really thought that Salah was going to go to Detroit, being he's from that area. And so when Detroit lost out at that, you know, the Ford family is just like, well, who else is like a big coach? And the GM just thought they meant like a big, you know, muscular coach. So he's like, there's that Dan Campbell guy down in New Orleans.
He's pretty jacked.
Him, he's pretty big.
No, that guy's knowing, big coach. Knowing how Detroit hires, they're probably like, okay, bench press competition. You two.
Yeah. You know, he's kind of built like a truck. Detroit's known for some big trucks. Let's hire Dan Campbell.
Yeah. He runs.
He looks sturdy.
He runs like a rock. Like a rock.
See, that's not a Ford commercial, I don't think. The Ford.
Oh, that's a Chevy. No, that's trucks.
Built for tough.
Built
just
for
like
tough.
Dan Campbell.
That's right. Hey, who do we think is going to be the New Orleans Saints quarterback now that it's been almost confirmed by Jay Glazer that Drew Brees' last game was today? Is it going to be Jameis?
No. I don't know who it's going to be. That's my thing. I think they go out.
Jameis has to be the best quarterback on that roster, right?
But they don't like him.
I mean, they won games with Taysom Hill.
And they paid him.
Yeah.
But
they're going to give it to Taysom before they give it to anybody else.
I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, but do they care? No.
This is unfortunate.
As long
that's going to be an interesting situation to keep an eye on too. There's going to be a lot of quarterback movement here in the offseason.
Yes.
It's going to be fun. So to see how many of these starters switch around different teams.
See, last year we had a bunch of quarterbacks that were on the free agency market. I think this year we're going to have a bunch of quarterbacks that, because of new coaching staffs coming into places like Detroit, like Atlanta, things like that, you know, Deshaun possibly wanting out, that we could find some trades happening.
Can we trade Matt Ryan straight up for Matt Stafford? We'd just do that. I mean, I like Matt Ryan, but Stafford is a better player at the moment.
Yeah, you probably could. I don't think the Lions would do it, but.
Matt Ryan can lift this. You know, he could lift something.
How about Cam Newton as the Saints quarterback?
Oh, ugh.
Michael Thomas loves the short passes.
Sign up to say, hey, we want this guy Cam to be our starter?
Starter? Probably not.
Bill Belichick would love it.
No,
he loves Cam, but I don't think they can do that
again. I think that was a one-year thing.
No,
they can't do that again.
I think the Saints will go elsewhere. I do think if the Jets want to trade Darnold, I would love that move. I think Darnold with the Saints would be great. I don't think it happens.
Michael Floor is talking like that's their guy.
Who?
Michael Floor.
Oh, okay.
Matt's brother.
And,
he's going to be the OC.
And if that's the case, Darnold is a gigantic buy for me. You guys know me with Sam Darnold. I still love the talent.
You love Darnold.
He doesn't have eyes behind his back anymore staring at him. You know, him worrying.
He's not seeing ghosts. Yeah.
He's not seeing eyes. He's not worried somebody's behind him all the time because Gase was always there.
And Doug brought up wanting to have Robert Saleh with him in a street fight earlier. You know, if any of these head coaches. Honestly, I'd still take Adam Gase because the way his eyes moves go. I mean, he's going to see.
You don't want that guy.
Away.
You don't want the crazy guy coming at you.
And I'm betting you he has a shank like in his pocket right
he's
now.
Got, he's
I'm
got he's bet. Got the eyes like he's Jagger.
Willing to poke somebody.
Is that how the song goes?
Yeah,
I believe so. Oh my! All right, you guys ready to wrap it up and get going? I'm ready.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we do next week, Tyler? We'll talk a little bit more about Leo's notebook. Maybe even try to get him on the show.
Yeah,
again. That'd be cool. If we can't, then we'll chat a little bit about it. I think that deserves more than just like a 5-minute type of segment. So let's put a bookmark or put a pin in it, as they say. If you've seen the movie Bolt, if you have kids, you've probably seen it. You know what I'm talking about. But that's going to do it this week for Dynasty Happy Hour. I've been your host, Doug, here with Tim and Tyler. We will see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.